Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
So joining us now on the podcast, Cameron Drummond. He covers the Wildcats for the Lexington Herald Leader. And Cameron, kind of a tale of two teams, these first two SEC games. The team I saw play and win on Saturday against Florida was not the same team that I saw get handled pretty easily against Georgia. What was Georgia able to do against Kentucky that Florida could not?
Yeah, there were certainly a lot of factors that kind of differed that Florida game from the Georgia game. You know, you saw that high energy, high scoring performance against Florida. Obviously, I think the Rupp Arena crowd had a lot to do with that. You know, we've seen Kentucky go on the road a couple times this season now, Clemson and Georgia, and really get out-physicaled, out-muscled, out-bullied. Obviously, foul trouble was a huge concern for Kentucky in that Georgia game. And it just never really feel like they approached that game with the right tenacity. Offensive rebounding that Kentucky he's allowing from opponents, rebounding in general, second chance points has been a bit of a negative theme. Even in that Florida game, the Gators kind of destroyed them on the boards. Mississippi State obviously is another really good offensive rebounding team, and that's kind of an area of the contest that a lot of people have circled. And the three-point shooting dried up as well. You know, I feel kind of reductionist just saying that a basketball game came down to a team making shots or not making shots, but Kentucky's three-point shooting from the game against Florida certainly did not translate to the Georgia game. Kobe Bray is three-point shooting in particular. Jackson Robinson's in a real cold stretch, both scoring overall and from behind the arc. So when you're not hitting your three-pointers as Kentucky, when you're not staying connected on the glass, and when you're fouling at the rate that Kentucky did against Georgia, where the Bulldogs shot, I think, 19 more free throws than Kentucky, especially in this modern 2025 SEC, you're not going to be winning many road games. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of people are considering that 18-game regular season winning streak against the Bulldogs to be in real peril for the Cats this weekend, just because going in the SEC, you cannot afford to lose in three or four major categories like that in the box score.
And you mentioned the physicality, and that's what Mississippi State's kind of their hallmark has been under Chris Jans. Maybe not the same this year as it's been years past. They don't really have that banger down low in Tolu Smith, but this is still a very physical, aggressive basketball team. Just from your point of view, do you think that's a bad matchup for Kentucky?
I think it can be, and I especially look at a guy like Cameron Matthews, you know, a guy who some of the really advanced analytics sites out there, I know me and my colleagues at the Herald Leader love using Evan Mayakawa and his evanmaya.com website. He's got Cam Matthews rated as the best defender in the SEC, you know, big guy who can average 2.5 steals per game. And you mentioned, or as I did a second ago, just the offensive rebounding that Mississippi State is known for as a top 20, top 30 team in that metric per KenPom. You know, you look at some of the players even aside from Matthews, like Kashawn Murphy could pose some issues on the boards for Kentucky, especially if a guy like Amari Williams is going to get into foul trouble. We saw a bit of Andrew Carr foul trouble against Georgia as well. You know, for all the depth that Kentucky does like to say it has, especially in the front court, things get pretty thin there if an Amari Williams or a Brandon Garrison or an Andrew Carr pick up some early fouls. And that could, you know, really pave the way for Mississippi State to have another strong rebounding performance, you know, whether it's any of those guys, Murphy, Matthews, Nwoko, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope.
Loco, yeah.
So, I mean, Mississippi State's got these big physical bruising guys who can punish you on the glass, can draw fouls, can maybe bait some of Kentucky's bigs into getting in kind of that situation. And so from that standpoint, considering it's a Saturday night game at the Hump as well, I'm sure that crowd will be in full voice. I think there are plenty of reasons to have this game with a big flashing red indicator, you know, for reasons that Kentucky could have some problems, especially given the quick turnaround from Georgia, the travel back and forth to Kentucky with some big snowfall in Lexington has been a bit erratic of late as well. So there's a lot of kind of distractions and things even within the game, within Mississippi State's skill set, that kind of could pose some problems for the Wildcats on Saturday.
Two of the top three-point shooters in all of college basketball in this game with Josh Hubbard and Kobe Bray. Bray, a ridiculous 47 of 95, almost 50% from behind the arc. You know, that's a guy that I don't know if a lot of college basketball fans had their eye on him coming into this season, but he has really delivered for the Wildcats. Their scoring is so balanced. I think they have six guys in double figures. Is he the guy the Bulldogs need to have the biggest eye on, or who would that be for the Wildcats?
Well, I certainly think he's one of them. And the thing about Kobe Bray as well, he got off to an insanely hot 3-point shooting start. I think through maybe 5 or 6 games this season, he was above a 70% 3-point shooter. You know, a mark that you know is going to come down and regress to the mean a little bit, but nonetheless, a guy that you need to be attentive of and pay attention to. You mentioned Kentucky's scoring balance. I think one of the most interesting things, or kind of one of the craziest stats that explains this, is the fact that Kentucky's played, what, 15, 14 games so far this season, and they haven't 15 games. And they haven't had the same leading scorer in consecutive games single time. They've gone, I think, 5 or 6 players deep, you know, between Otega Owe, who really came on strong to start the season. We've seen Lamont Butler, especially in that showcase game against Louisville, explode for 33 points. He led Kentucky with 20 against Georgia as well, even though that was kind of an offensive dud across the board. So there's several guys that I think Mississippi State needs to be conscious of. Brea, I think, from a 3-point shooting perspective, is certainly the guy to keep tabs on. Because he's really the guy that can hurt you. Lamont Butler's shooting 40.5% from three. But I think there's so many things with a Lamont Butler as a playmaker, as a defender. You kind of have to pick your poison for what you're going to allow him to do against you successfully. So Brea leads the way in the 3-point shooting category. But Otega Owe really has been the most important offensive player for Kentucky this season because of his ability to penetrate, his ability to beat guys off the dribble, get 2 feet in the paint, play make from there. He's not got a super high assist total, but once he's able to get by your perimeter defense and put pressure on the rim, that has affected how a lot of defenses have tried to combat Kentucky's offense, and especially given the way that Kentucky likes to shoot a bunch of three-pointers, not quite the 35 per game that Mark Pope promised in the offseason, but nonetheless still a high 3-point shooting volume team. A lot of that success, a lot of those quality looks come from a guard like an Otega Owe beating you off the dribble, establishing that penetration early on. And something else to watch has just been the play of Kentucky's bigs on the offensive end, because Mark Pope and Cody Feger, the assistant who runs UK's offense, they really like to use bigs in a playmaking role. We've seen this in a good way and in a bad way with Amari Williams specifically this season in terms of his turnover totals, the decisions he makes when they toss him the ball in the high post or when he comes up to the top of the key and initiates. So if Mississippi State's bigs can have some solid defense on Kentucky's bigs in terms of turning them over early and just forcing them in uncomfortable situations where they're not able to act as a proper offensive hub, I think those are going to be the real areas of Kentucky's offense that Chris Jans and the Bulldogs defense should be keying in on.
This is, you know, kind of a problem for everybody in the SEC this year, but the next few weeks for Kentucky are pretty damn tough. They are at Mississippi State, then they host Texas A&M and Alabama. They get a little bit of a reprieve for the trip to Nashville, but that can be a tough place to play. And then they have to go to number one Tennessee, number one at the time. You know, they won't be when we get to Monday. Is this, I don't know if you can call a game against Mississippi State a must-win game for Kentucky, but it feels like the stakes are really high for Kentucky in this one.
Well, you mentioned all those games, and that's just the next 5-game run-up for Kentucky in the SEC schedule. Then the game after that Tennessee game, John Calipari and Arkansas are coming back to Rupp Arena, right? So you literally, I mean, it's the biggest cliche in college basketball this season, but there are no nights off in the SEC. And I think the State game, in a vacuum, is important in terms of just stabilizing yourself, finally getting a true road win before that becomes a festering issue that keeps getting brought up time and time again. Obviously, it'd be a top 15 win at the time. Kentucky's already got 3 top 10 wins this season. And the way that the SEC is, you're probably going to drop a game here or there, even against perhaps an unranked or unexpected opponent like Georgia. So you can never have too many of those quality quad one opportunities on your schedule. But I also think in the macro sense, I mean, you start SEC play 1-2 this season, at any point that you drop below 500 in conference play, you can easily see a path not only to, you know, maybe picking up some victories and getting back above that mark, but it's not crazy to think that Kentucky could spiral to a 3-5 SEC record, you know, 4-4 SEC record, whatever it may be. So I think the State game is almost important purely from the standpoint of you don't want to fall behind the chains early. You know, I know the CFP is still going on, so not to borrow a football analogy, but you can't get into 2nd-13 or 2nd-14 in the SEC this season, right? And that's obviously easier said than done. You know, it's obviously the historical thing I mentioned earlier with just continuing to try and stack some of these wins over Mississippi State and at Starkville and at Humphrey Coliseum. But that all being said, Kentucky falling to 1-2 in SEC play this year, you can easily see that becoming 1-3, 1-4, what have you. So I think Kentucky just needs a solid bounce back performance, especially given the way that the Georgia game was just kind of an all systems clunker, whether it was defense, physicality, rebounding, fouling, all that stuff. Kentucky needs to bounce back in a big way and show that, frankly, it has the toughness to compete for a top 4 spot in the SEC this season. And if you're going to finish top 4 in this league this year, it's going to require doing something like winning a game on the road at Mississippi State.
Both of these teams value the basketball. They're both really good assist to turnover. Is that going to be the biggest factor in this game? Whoever can turn over the other one the most is probably going to end up winning.
I think so, too, and that's interesting you bring that up because that was another part of the all-systems offensive failure for Kentucky at Georgia. I believe they only had 8 assists against 15 or 16 turnovers, which is, you know, pretty unlike this Kentucky team this season. But when Kentucky's offense hasn't flowed well, when they have had some low-scoring performances, it's been just that as the culprit. Ball movement not sticking, the assist totals low, the turnover totals high, or at least higher. You know, Mark Pope always likes to say, that's not us, when a certain facet of the game doesn't go the way that Kentucky intended it to go. The assist to turnover ratio against Georgia was certainly unlike the Kentucky team we've seen the most of this season. You know, just the fact that Kentucky allowed so many free throws, the fact that the ball movement was sticking, that Kentucky wasn't getting to the rack, putting enough pressure on the rim to generate open quality 3-point shooting looks. All that stuff kind of goes into, you know, perimeter defense, interior defense. And so to your point, I think the team that is able to successfully turn over the other team, maybe that's not the only thing you're going to be able to do to win this basketball game, but certainly going to be a high marker. You know, Kentucky will still come in to this contest, I believe, top 5 in the nation in offensive turnover percentage. I know that number went up a tick after the Georgia defeat, but nonetheless, this team is one that values the basketball, you know, kind of with Lamont Butler as the head of the snake in that regard. He's still been battling a niggling ankle injury that's bothered him for the last month, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And so, you know, if that's something that's not quite 100%, especially as we get into this grueling Tuesday, Saturday SEC basketball turnaround, you know, that could be an issue for Kentucky, especially given the fact that, you know, Kirk Creasa is still out with his own foot surgery, so they don't have a true backup point guard. So a lot's on the shoulders of Lamont Butler to initiate offense, have that high assist to turnover ratio, and that's kind of the straw that has stirred Kentucky's drink from that standpoint so far this season.
Kind of interesting similarities there between Kentucky and Mississippi State with Kanye Clary out for Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. State doesn't really have that backup point guard as well. Should be a very interesting game, and the winner of this game is going to be in a really good spot in the SEC. The loser is going to have some work in front of them because of just how difficult this conference is. Cameron Drummond, Lexington Herald Leaderman, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.